The first Viking settlements in the British Isles did not appear suddenly as fully formed colonies. They emerged through a gradual and often violent transformation in the relationship between Scandinavian seafarers and the communities they encountered across Britain and Ireland. At first, the newcomers arrived as raiders. Their ships appeared without warning near monasteries, coastal settlements, and river mouths, allowing armed bands to seize portable wealth before disappearing back across the sea. Over time, however, temporary expeditions became seasonal occupations, seasonal camps became fortified bases, and fortified bases developed into permanent communities. By the middle of the 9th century, Scandinavians were no longer merely attacking the British Isles from a distance. They were living there, trading there, raising families there, and competing for political power within the island's already complex network of kingdoms and peoples. The term Viking can obscure as much as it reveals. It did not describe a single nation, ethnicity, or unified army. The Scandinavian newcomers came from different regions, followed different leaders, and pursued different goals. Some were primarily interested in plunder, while others sought commercial opportunities, land, political influence, or a new home. Modern historians often distinguish between Norwegians, Danes, and Swedes, yet such categories were not always clearly defined in the 8th and 9th centuries. Identities could be local, familial, or tied to a particular war leader rather than to anything resembling a modern state. In Britain and Ireland, contemporary chroniclers sometimes called the newcomers Northmen, pagans, foreigners, or Danes, regardless of their precise origins. Therefore, the creation of Viking settlements must be understood not as a coordinated Scandinavian invasion plan but as a series of regional movements shaped by geography, opportunity, warfare, and local alliances. The British Isles were especially attractive to Scandinavian seafarers because they lay within reach of the maritime routes that connected Norway, Denmark, the North Sea, and the North Atlantic. The long, narrow Viking ship could cross open water, navigate shallow rivers, and land on beaches where no permanent harbor existed. This flexibility allowed raiders to strike isolated religious communities and withdraw before local rulers could gather an army. Yet the same ships that made raiding possible also supported migration. They carried horses, livestock, timber, tools, household goods, and settlers as well as warriors. Once Scandinavians became familiar with the coastlines and political divisions of the islands, they could identify protected bays, fertile valleys, river junctions, and islands that offered strategic control over maritime traffic. Before the Viking Age, Britain and Ireland were politically fragmented. England was divided among kingdoms including Northumbria, Mercia, Wessex, and East Anglia, while smaller territories and shifting alliances complicated the political landscape. In northern and western Britain, Pictish, Gaelic, and Brittonic communities competed for influence. Ireland contained numerous kingdoms whose rulers fought one another for land, tribute, and prestige. There was no unified British or Irish authority capable of organizing a common defense against seaborne attackers. This fragmentation initially favored the Vikings. A Scandinavian band could attack one kingdom and trade with another, support a local ruler in exchange for payment, or establish a base in a contested region where neighboring powers were unable to remove it. The famous attack on Lindisfarne in 793 is often treated as the beginning of the Viking Age in the British Isles. The monastery, located on a tidal island off the Northumbrian coast, possessed religious significance and valuable objects but lacked strong military defenses. The shock of the assault echoed through Christian Europe because holy places were supposed to stand beyond ordinary violence. Yet Lindisfarne was not the beginning of Scandinavian knowledge of Britain. Trade and travel across the North Sea had existed for generations, and Scandinavian sailors probably knew something of British coastlines before the first recorded attacks.